You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 through 49. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? In what body do they come? O foolish one, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain it may, choice of wheat, or some other grain. But God gives it a body as it hath pleased him, every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So, also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, is raised in incorruption. It is sown a natural body, is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. As it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word, and this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. Father God, as much as we can this morning now, we want to pause at this time to acknowledge the privilege that we have here. And in from our own selfish way, we want to say thank you. We realize that we fall so far short in our gratitude, and yet, as much as we can, we want to praise thee this morning for the good things of life and for the unpleasant, for the abounding things and the things that put us under. And so in that spirit, honor to your great Son. And realizing our great need here tonight, this morning, and we do look to you for grace, as you truly shut us in, as you minister that which is needful to every individual heart. And may you rebuke the evil one that nothing hinder this morning, as we look at these deep things that have to do with eternity. Thank you, Father, for attending to these things, because we ask these graces here and now as you cleanse us to make us the vessel you desire. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Well, I guess people are not too interested in the resurrection. We mentioned that last Sunday and told them if they want to get in on the good thing, they need to come to Sunday. They evidently don't want to, so you people are here and you get to share double with us all that. May I say at the outset, we not only must understand what is said, and we need to understand that, of course, we understand what is said in the book, but we need to know what it means. And of course, this is where all our different opinions come in.
The reason why we have so many different opinions is because
we're not faithful in right division of the word. Anybody that can read the English language has got even a spattering of English to go by, understands or can read what it says. You need to read carefully, though, so that you understand what it says, all right. And then next, we need to know what it means. As I said, it means that according to how you rightly divide it. And the better you are as a workman to this end, closer you are to the finality of truth. And this means that many things that we anticipate or want to be are not always what we think they are. Therefore, we need to constantly check our references time and time again, going back and forth, back and forth, by way of comparison, staying within the context of the internal laws of Scripture themselves. We have no right to depart from these things, because when we do, there's the old human thing gets into it, and we come up with error. We don't want that. So as much as we can this morning, and particularly on this subject matter, the resurrection, we have to look at it from the whole picture as we have it recorded. One of the things about the resurrection is in the way in which it's carried out. And you'll notice in the 15th chapter, verse 23, every man in his own order. The idea of a resurrection, the just and the unjust, is true, but in their own order. There's not going to be just a resurrection. Every man in his own order. Now, we have three different orders mentioned here. There may be more, but we know there are three. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Notice the word fruits. It's in the plural. That, in essence, that is saying this. I drive a Ford automobile. Certainly, that's not Mr. Ford out there. That's a part of Ford Motor Company. It was until I bought it. We're talking about Christ, the first fruits company. He is, of course, that Ford out there is a result of Henry Ford, in the human speaking. But it isn't Henry Ford. And the first resurrection is not just Christ. It is his resurrection, obviously. But it's the first fruits of a company of believers that accompany that resurrection. Now, it's interesting that all of the people who are in the revealed plan of God, their promises are all future. So, in the context, notice. On the other hand, those who believe and accept the mystery, that sacred secret of God, the promises are in the past tense. I know this is making a mountain out of a molehill, as a lot of people tell me, but again, if we rightly divide, keeping in its context, not only what it says, but what it means, we have to consider this. And since the first type of resurrection is in the first fruit company, see, of Christ. And all of this according to a calling. Hence the prayer of the Apostle Paul in the first chapter of the first letter written concerning the mystery. That God may give unto you a spirit of wisdom in the full revelation of his Son, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now that calling tells us that in words that we should not misunderstand, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, so super heavens, far above heavens. He has blessed us with every blessing in that heaven in Christ Jesus, according as he chose us before the foundation of the world. So that calling is written, that letter was addressed to people, the people in the city of Ephesus. And those people had sat under the at the feet of Paul for 3 years. They knew perfectly well what the hope of their calling was prior to the revelation of the mystery. And all their hopes and everything looked forward to what? The rapture and the personal presence of our Lord upon this planet. That was the hope that Paul held out to them until he wrote the letter to Ephesus after the close of Acts. So that the calling, you see, determines an awful lot here. Have we followed it so far? This is important because it deals with you personally. What you can hope for, what you can know based upon what God said. Notice again, he's not going to do these things, he hath done it. Hence, it is written also in Ephesians, in that request that we might know the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, that power which he energized in Christ when he wrought him from raised him from the dead. Then the second chapter goes on to tell us that he hath also raised us up and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places. Again, in the past tense. You didn't believe that. You didn't know that, did you? You thought you sat in at Hunter Street, McKinley. But you know you have died with Christ. Past tense again. And you're now, your life, your true life, is hidden with him. You see, that's hard. Hard to understand. As Peter wrote in his last letter to the dispersed of Israel, the time of his departure had come too. And he said, our beloved Paul has written to you according to the wisdom that given to him, some things that are hard to be understood. Now they are hard to understand. And God hasn't asked us to understand it. He's asked us to what? To believe it. Next week, the Lord willing, we're going to be dealing with the complexity of the deity. And it is a complex problem. The Lord willing, after that, we're going to start a series of studies, unless he directs me otherwise. But right now, as I see it, we'll be dealing with the importance of what God says to you. In the meantime, you might study and restudy, read and reread the 11th chapter of Hebrews, because we're going to spend a lot of time there, I think, unless God does change his course. If he changes it, well, then, of course, I'll have changed too. But right now, that's the way I see things. But next week, we're going to be dealing with the complexity of the deity itself. It is a complex problem. But our calling, is not that which was in the revealed plan of God, but was in the hidden purpose of God. And to those who are initiated into this great mystery, and I almost hate to use that word, because you know the New Age is using that word too. Amazing how the counterfeit of things picks up. It's strange how... You talk about a paradox. I got to thinking about this. The Holy Spirit chose that word from the ancient teachings of the Greeks in their secret societies. You see? And now, the enemy has chosen the word that the Holy Spirit chose to indoctrinate, if you will, the teachings of the New Age. Amazing, the counterfeit. Boy, that rascal is really subtle, I'll tell you. We really have to keep on our toes. But our calling is assured because it's all in the past tense. We only await the the fact of seeing, because when he is made manifest to us, we shall be made manifest with him. Whereabouts? In glory. I hope you follow this so far. Now, there are many types of bodies. Notice, he goes into great length. Whatever body that he desires for you is what pleases him. Notice, if you will, verse 38. God gives it a body as it has pleased him. Now, to those of you who have been initiated into the sacred secret of God, that body of truth written to us, if you are one of the initiates, the reason you are is because it pleased him to do so in the first chapter of Ephesians again. And you're going to have the kind of body as pleases him. And that body is going to be, notice, there are celestial bodies and there are terrestrial bodies. The word celestial just means heavenly. And the word terrestrial means earthly. Now, that's not too hard to understand. If you're part of the teaching and if you've been initiated into that sacred secret of God, what kind of a body do you think you're going to have? You're going to have a heavenly body. If you are in the real plan of God, what kind of body are you going to have? You're going to have a terrestrial, earthly body. Notice again in Ephesians 1. He hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing. What does that mean? The full equipment is all there waiting for us. God's not going to bring us into that place without all. We have all the equipment we need. He has blessed us already. There ought to be a good shout in Methodist in this crowd somewhere. I tell you it's terrible. The Methodists have gone downhill so bad it's pitiful today. But there was a time when there was some shouting going on in the Methodist group. They got too sophisticated for that. But we have too, I guess. But anyhow, it ought to make you just kick up your heels a little bit. And let me say this in a personal way. Don't anybody ask me how I'm doing. I'm about ready to jump out of my skin. They've given me so many vitamins this last week that I can't even stand still up here. And somehow we got to have a different arrangement about that. I can't work this way. But anyway, I want to say this, that the future is very bright. I had a little track from my old friend out in California. And I mentioned this yesterday we were taking a little side trip here, I guess it's all right. Anyway, he wrote a little article on the fact that they had, you know, that television deal they had on Doomsday, you know, the propaganda, what's going to happen the day after, you know, and all that junk. I got a secret for you, beloved. 1 John 4 says, Christ was commissioned the Savior, the preserver of this cosmos. And nobody going to destroy this civilization or this earth, because if it's ever destroyed, one day it will be at the conclusion of the millennium and renovated by fire. But man going to do that. And the man not going to do it, he's not going to do it. It isn't that we haven't got the equipment to do it with. But I would remind you of this. There was a time in ancient history after the flood when men built a city whose tower reached into heaven. And God came down to see. He said, every imagination of their thoughts and hearts they'll be able to do. See, history repeats itself. We're back there again. Man has got devised everything down to where there's nothing that he can't do, that he can imagine, except for one thing. The Lord Jesus Christ has been commissioned the Savior of the world. It's cosmos order, the arrangement of things. Don't nobody scare you. We're living a wonderful time. Believe it. If I don't live to see the conclusion of it, you still believe it. I'm just going ahead of you, that's all. But I'll be up there. I don't know whether I'll be seeing what's going on down here or not. But I'll know of you. And as Paul said when he was in the prison in Ephesus, although I'm not there in bodily presence, I'm there in the spirit. I'll know. Now, we don't have to worry about doomsday. There's no doomsday for us. Nothing awaits us but the complement and fulfillment of what Paul was talking about in the Philippian letter. Not that I have already arrived. I'm not, God isn't through me yet. It's that old button that they wore down there. God is not through with me yet. He's not through yet. I haven't arrived, but I forget all those things that are behind that used to trouble me. All the men, say divisions of men and all this. Now, I was interested about a famous teacher here who's ahead of our program down there. And he was commenting on a new book, and he said, well, he didn't know whether they accepted it or not because it did not have any scholarly credentials. It didn't have anything that he could check it out with. Well, if they read my book on Acts, they ain't got much they can check out either, except the Bible, and I hope to check it out. Anyway, you know, we don't have to worry about it. We don't have a great scholarship behind it either. So, God has chosen what? The foolish things of this world to confound the wise, you see. Never forget that, beloved. He takes an old dirty piece of clay and exalts it to make it a vessel fitted for his use. I can't believe it. It's sure a fact. Yeah. Now look out. I ought to believe it. Look out this order. You see, beloved, it's a wonderful thing when you think about our God. He is terrific. And we've been called and raised to see together in the far above heavenlies. People talk about going to heaven, you know. We're the only people that are going to be up there. In the fact, they may get to come up and visit us, but they ain't going to be their home. That's our home. That's our homeland. Paul writes about that in the Philippian letter. Our homeland is in the heavens, and we await there to be made manifest with him. I don't have to go back and have you people baptized into the Methodist Church. That's all it's to it. So somebody got to do some shouting around here. I tell you, that just takes me up to glory to think about that. I hope it does you. Don't nobody go commit suicide. Just wait it out. That's the hard part of the waiting. This is a wonderful rule of life. What is said, what does it mean? You can apply this to everything, not just the Word of God, anything. Somebody says to you something, listen to what he says. But the main thing is, what does he mean? Always consider the circumstances in which it was said, why it was said to you, under the certain and the reason, all the things that go with it. That's what's meant, you see, not what he said always. And that's what we have to do, too. Now, there are several kind of bodies, we say. There's heavenly, there's earthly. But there's also another division. There's a pneuma. That's a spirit body. I don't steal that. That's not right somehow. You left something at P. Well, anyway, you know what it is. That's a spirit body. I can't even spell English. I don't know why I'm trying to spell Greek. There is a spiritual body, though. And, you know, I never saw one like that, so I don't know. But the Bible tells me so. And our Lord demonstrated it after the resurrection. And there's another kind of body, too. That's psuche. That's the natural body. Our Lord demonstrated that, too. Both of them. Why is it? You know why? He is the God-man. Yeah. That's exactly what the gospel of Romans, the first chapter. The gospel of God is the gospel of the God-man. God, very God, and man, very man. See? Fantastic. Now, through the equipment you need, but notice, the spirit is the difference. The natural body by itself is a body that we know about today, and the source of that life is blood. That's why they got blood banks, you know. But the source of the body up yonder is not blood. It's the spirit. You see? The word body is soma. S-O-M-A. So it doesn't matter. It's still a body. Whether it's this or this, it's still a body. The main difference is the source of its existence. You see, when the astronauts went to the moon, they had to carry along the arrangements that God had up there. That's why they had another body they put themselves in. Had to carry along their water, had to carry along their food. Because that equipment wasn't on the moon. They had to take it along. But when we get up there, notice again, every spiritual blessing is there for us. It's all awaiting for us. The housing, no housing shortages. Don't have to worry about if you can make a down payment. The payment's already been made and paid for. All laid out. That's a bright future, beloved. That is not something to worry about in doomsday. It's promotion day, you see. That's what it is. And you people, by the grace of God, have been called into that calling, if you believe it. If you believe it. That's why we want to take the time after we spend with the complexity of deity next week to begin studying, to really concentrate upon the great profit of believing what God says to you. That's what counts. The other's wonderful truths too, but what God says to you is what you should be really concerned about. That's maybe a selfish way to look at it, but that's the inheritance that awaits you. So we want to spend some time next week. We may spend more than 1 week because the complexity of the deity entails a view of Christ, one aspect of him. There are so many different pictures in the person of Christ. And in these teachings, always keep these things in mind, beloved. Whatever I say up here is just pointing you to something. This is not the finality of what I'm talking about. The other is your job to ask God to enlighten you that you might become a student of these things. And the person of Christ should be the thing that you're interested in. Like unto Paul, when he said, I forget all this that's behind, that I might win Christ, that I might get to know him. See? And this should be the drive of everything in our life. Everything that motivates us is to become acquainted with him. And he is there are so many facets of his being. And notice again in Colossians, turn to Colossians 2 just a minute, and you'll see the importance of this recognition of the facts that I'm talking about. Not only has God given us a secret, but he's told us something else here in Colossians 2 and verse 2 and 3. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the sacred secret of God. And in the Greek text, only one word follows that, and that's the word Christ. The one must acknowledge this sacred secret of God, that's the very foundation of the mystery itself, which is Christ. Why? That is, if you want to go on, notice, because in him are hidden, notice, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There is no other source. Somebody said, well, you can find some good anywhere. Yeah. Dig around an old garbage pail and find something if you want to look there for a while, but that's simply because somebody thrown the truth away, put it there. The real source was still the source. But look in the garbage pail. Look where you find it. That's Christ himself. And to begin with, as I say, we want to spend a little time next week on the complexity of deity that will help us to become workmen to be acquainted with him. That's what the ball game is all about. In other words, keep your eye on the donut, not on the hole. There is a body terrestrial. If that is your calling, glory in it. But beloved, I am so grateful that I can stand here before you this morning and know that I have been called into the super heavens. That's my home. I wish you'd come join me. But we're going to have a ball up there. What's that way? Yeah. That's right. All the failures, all the disappointments of this life will be past tense, just like it was there. Because everything that awaits me, notice, every spiritual blessing has been arranged. I didn't have anything to do with it. He, in his grace, looked down the course of time and saw that old sinner Mac down in in an awful condition and down in South Texas, and reached down and apprehended me just like he did the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. Yeah. Nobody knew about it except him. But Paul, everybody knew about Paul, but didn't know about mine. It's taken me 40 some odd years to tell people about it, and I still haven't got the job done, you see. But somewhere in the road of history, under maybe a different type of circumstances, God looked down the course of time and saw you too. Picked you up like that fellow from Samaria. The good Samaritan came along and picked him up out of the ditch. That's what happened to all of us. What for? To raise us and to seat us far above all the heavens. If you don't appreciate grace after those things and begin to understand them, there's something wrong with you. You're sick. You need the great physician. Our time's gone. We pick it up to our next week on as we look in and take a look. I've missed a lot this morning, I know that. There's too much material in this. I ought to spend some more time on it yet. But in any case, I think you get the point. If you are concerned, I think you follow your own studies out in this matter. And look forward next week as we look at the complexities of deities. In the meantime, read and reread the 11th chapter of Hebrews, because that's what we're going to be eventually getting back into. We've dealt with that once before. We had a series on that. But it's been several years ago. And I think we need to have it reemphasized again. Father, we do thank you for the hope that lies ahead as a result of the resurrection and our identification with him. And we pray now that the Holy Spirit will do his office work to enlighten, to bring into full view some of the things we've talked about. At the same time, if the fleshly energy has crept in somewhere along the line, would the Holy Spirit be pleased to strike that out? By those things that you can approve and honor your great Son and to fulfill your purpose, may you burn it into the heart and mind and the personality of each individual here according to your own plan and purpose. And thank you for this. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. His name is-
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.